Okay, 13, verse 8. Sally, okay to that? Any idea? The ransom of a man's life is his wealth, but the poor hears no rebuke. Okay? The ransom of a man's life is his wealth. What about his wealth? What's ransom kind of indicate?
Payment.
Payment. Something due, something that's going to save the man, something like that. And in the cleanest sense here, the ransom of man's life is his wealth. If you have wealth, in one sense, I guess you could say, will it help you? In other words, if you're kidnapped or something like that. That's it. One sense, I guess. Okay? But it's the idea of life here. What can wealth do to a person? If a person is I don't want to say a bad person, but one who does not have a healthy life, okay? Does not have a good life. What was this senator from North Carolina? No one that was a presidential candidate?
Edwards.
Yeah, that guy made, $200 million in court cases, and he had a lot of wealth. The wealth there tended to cover up, didn't it? Okay? And help him cover up his life. And he thought it was his salvation for years, wasn't it? Okay? It was the ransom that kind of brought him back. And some people may view wealth that way, don't they? You know, it's kind of like I'm invincible. My wealth will take care of me, or my fame, that sort of thing. See what I'm saying, Jane? And I guess, and that's true to a sense, that people with a lot of wealth can cover up a lot of trespasses. And the wealth will do that. We're buying witnesses, whatever it is, okay? So that's a truism. But the poor hears no rebuke. Well, what about the poor? What happens when slander happens to the poor or something, okay? Do they have any rebuke? Does anyone really care about the poor? So they don't really hear anything, do they, when they're criticized or reprimanded? So, you know, if poor, then there's no threats will happen. Interesting, isn't it? Okay? Can the poor buy themselves out? Will the wealth buy them out? No. All right? So they really have to live with what happens. I think that's kind of the way. If you have another thought on it, that's the way I'm thinking that goes. Okay? 9. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked goes out. Light and lamp. Light and lamp. I guess that's the idea of leading. What leads you in life? Lights and lamps. And what is one who is righteous? They rejoices, don't they? Because they see things how they are. They act the right way. They know they're doing the right thing. But the lamp of the wicked goes out. What's the end? What's his life? That is extinguished, goes out. Okay? I think that's just a nice general term about light and lamp.
Note there, the footnote, it says, the light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked goes out. You know, and it does. You know, the light of the righteous does shine forth.
And that's kind of how other people see us, isn't it?
That's what I was thinking more of. Mm-hmm. And then the wicked, I mean, they're in darkness in the first place, and they have no light to shine mm-hmm. in the darkness. So they remain in the dark.
And they think they're going down a path that's lit and lamp mm-hmm. and right. And against it goes out. There's no end of it. Kind of like you go into a tunnel. Deeper and deeper in the tunnel, and your light goes out. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Could 8 have a more spiritual application to it? The ransom of a man's life is his riches. Could that be spiritual riches and the ransom of his life?
It could.
Eternal life, and the poor man doesn't hear a rebuke?
It could. I mean, I have to watch a little bit. A lot of these are practical applications, and some are just plain on the surface, and I guess we can read different things into them. But I see the word poor and wealth and that kind of thing. It could be applied that way, but you really have to watch some of these, okay? And we'll see a lot of wealth and riches come into this, okay, in this and the next chapter we'll get into. But it may be. The light of the righteous, we see that. Number 10, through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel. What's insolence? You have another in your versions.
Pride.
Pride, isn't it?
Presumption.
Okay. Huh?
Presumption.
Okay. So when you're a prideful person, a presumptuous person, it might be pride in your wealth. Who knows? What here it says comes nothing but strife out of it. Arguments, contention. Because if you're that kind of a prideful person, you think you are the one. You're the center of attention, and that tends to cause strife, doesn't it? Okay? And arguments. But wisdom is with those who receive counsel. Now, the contrast here is receive counsel. Would an insolent person, a prideful person, really receive counsel? It'd be difficult for them, wouldn't it?
They don't think they need it.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the contrast here. But wisdom with those who receive counsel. Now, when we say receive, what do we mean?
Heed it.
Right, okay. In other words, someone else may be involved, or your reading is involved, but you're getting it from somewhere else, okay? Or you're well advised.
So you don't think this has anything to do with being presumptuous? You know, we can have our preconception of things and act on that and be totally off the mark, and it really does cause stress. When we jump ahead of things before getting information, whereas if we were to sit back, listen, get the information.
Seek advice,
you
sure.
Know, right. Then we can act wisely.
And that's the idea of having a prudent life, isn't it? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You think before you act, things like that.
Or get information. You know, sometimes we just jump ahead and do stuff or say something or think something.
And here, and in the first part, nothing but strife or contentions and arguments come out of that when you act quickly.
Exactly.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's somewhat the case because you don't maybe not have all the facts. Maybe you think what you say sometimes. Okay. 11. Wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it well. Wealth obtained, and that's a italicized word, by fraud dwindles. Fraud is the idea of a dishonest labor. Now, I guess is what it says here. If you gain this wealth by dishonesty, it's eventually go down little by little, dwindles. It goes down little by little. Well, you can't keep it, can you? And what's the reverse of that? The one who gathers by honest labor increases wealth. Maybe that's just a general term, the idea that...
Well, he knows how he got it, so he can continue doing what he did to get it. Whereas the one with the fraud, you know, you steal one time, then yeah, it's going to go away. Or
eventually it'll catch up with you, too.
Right.
Yeah.
One's productive and the other one's unpredictable.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay. Unpredictable. Well, yeah. You lie, that's predictable. All right? Okay. All right. 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a truer life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Delay in a much desired goal. And what does it leave? A heart that's sick, depressed. If you've got this great desire, but you keep delaying it, or it delays for some reason, then maybe a sick heart comes out of that, or depression. Okay? Doesn't feel fulfilled. So we need to watch for that. But desire fulfilled is the tree of life. Just talking about desire, isn't it? Okay? And really deferred desire. was a tree of life. What have we been talking about, tree of life? What's the idea?
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Yeah.
And kind of reference to a sick heart. Okay, is kind of the contrast. All right. When you've got a, one is a goal that's been delayed, and you're depressed over it. But here is a fulfilled desire, and what does that give you a feeling of? A good feeling, doesn't it? All right, you've accomplished what you wanted to do. Okay, you fulfilled, and that's like a tree of life. It's nourishing. It's helpful. It's you're alive. I guess you're not depressed. So you're upbeat. All that kind of thing. Tree of life. Okay? See the idea? All right? And that's the thing we should expect sometimes. And if we have some goal we've been desiring and it just didn't work out. Okay? Or you're looking for a job and you did all the interview and you're down to the final two or three and you just didn't get it. You thought you had the indication you was going to get it and it didn't happen. Expect depression a little bit, right? Okay? But don't let it get you down. See the idea? All right? Expect that sort of things.
Doug, there's a saying, I can't remember all of it. I remember the first half. Justice delayed is... It's like it didn't happen. Justice delayed is... I can't remember, but I think that's kind of the same idea here.
Hmm. Justice. She said justice served. I could make that work. It's kind of like if the legislature's not in session, that's good.
Because they can't do anything. We're trying to think of the rest of it.
Okay, we'll give it 5 more seconds. Okay? All right, justice.
Been thinking about it for 5 minutes. The rest of it is just chopping.
Well, a lawyer would know that right off, wouldn't we?
Yes, they would.
Justice delayed. All right. Yeah, the internet connection would pop right in, couldn't it? Okay.
Yes. Google.
little boy's waiting for you back next to me. Sandy, you know the answer?
She knows all the answers.
Justice delayed is...
I didn't make it up.
Okay, 13. 13:13. That's a good one to remember. The one who despises the word will be in debt to it, but the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. If you despise the word, call it wisdom or whatever, you'll be in debt. Yes.
King James says the word will be destroyed. Okay. Instead of being in debt to it.
Okay.
Destroyed.
Well, in fact, it would be.
The word will be destroyed.
He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded.
Destroyed, yes. Destroyed, and rewarded. I guess those contrast. Okay, or debt and reward too. I think I can make.
King James.
I think I can make the same point out of it.
What is yours say?
The literal. Thing there though is pledged to it, which means that it will judge you.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you despise the word, you'll be in debt to it. You're going to pay for your actions. You're going to be judged by it. Mm-hmm. And the second part is one who fears or respects the commandment will be rewarded or blessed. And in that sense, you're not in debt to it, but it's been paid, hasn't it? It's been paid. Okay? It's kind of like if you're in debt. If you despise the word, you're in debt to it, it's going to judge you. Okay? And you pay for your actions. In other words, you owe it a debt, don't you? There's going to be a payment for despising the word. But if you respect the word, it's going to be rewarded or blessed. See the idea? Okay? 14. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. We've kind of seen that before. Tree of life, fountain of life. To turn aside from the snares of death. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. Do we know that? Sure. Okay, we talked about that. Okay? Nourishment, goodness, all those sort of things. But the teaching of the wise is to turn aside from the snares of death. It's continuous. Snares, traps, those things that would lead to death. One's life and one's death. See it there in the first and second part of it? Okay. So, fountain of life is nourishing, and be careful to turn aside to this, from those snares and traps of death. And there was no nourishment there. All right. Good general statement. And those still complement each other. What's a snare? Okay. Give me an example.
I look at a snare as something that's been set up purposely to trap something.
So, if we're in a situation where we're, and we've seen it before, running with violent people, or you pick bad company, is that a snare or a trap that's going to catch you one day? Yes. Okay. The people that use language is not proper. Same idea. Okay.
That's what's used in chapter 1 about the net for the bird. And it just got through saying, my son is not walking away with them. Talking about those evil companions. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. And then it talks about the net, catching the bird.
And here it is, turn aside. Don't walk down where her, I'm just saying, you know, the idolatrous or the adulteress, live, don't walk down that street. Turn aside from it. Okay? Good general. 15. Good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard. Favor, blessed, good understanding of the word, which you put it in act, produces a blessing, doesn't it? Okay? And but the way of the treacherous is hard. if you're a treacherous person, I'm going to say evil or wicked or lie or whatever it is, it's saying here that that way is going to be difficult. It's not going to be a blessed way. That's if you're in that treacherous way of life, you're probably got sorrows and misfortunes, and you know, just your life is just going to be that way. And that's, we've seen that all the way through, haven't we? Okay, the idea that if you live an honest, fair, life without violence and fair in your dealings, generally you're going to have a better life. Okay, and then in the reverse of that, if you live in a bad situation, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. All right? 16. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. The idea of prudent, what? He acts out of knowledge, doesn't he? That's a good general statement. If you're a cautious man, you're going to act out of knowledge. Now, if you're not prudent, not cautious, you're going to act out of scarce knowledge, maybe, wouldn't you? Okay? Or no knowledge. You're about of emotion. So it's the idea of being a prudent life. But a fool displays folly. How does a fool display folly?
He makes really bad choices because he makes his choices based on his own thinking and his own wisdom.
His own learning that he's got that point or whatever it is, just displayed in it. Yeah. Okay, or lack of. He lacks good sense.
He doesn't think before he acts.
Yeah, all right. So it's on display is the point. Okay? And other people can see it. All right? 17. If you see that in another person, if you see it in a foolish person, and you tell them of their folly or their way they're acting, what has Proverbs told us how a fool reacts to that?
He gets mad.
Yeah. That's right. Okay? All right. So, but still keep trying. All right? 17. A wicked messenger falls into adversity, but a faithful envoy brings healing. We've kind of talked about that before in another verse. A wicked, that's the key word, messenger falls into adversity or trouble, doesn't he? But a faithful one, messenger, envoy, brings healing. There's a situation, this idea of healing. If you represent someone, and you're a faithful envoy, you understand who sent you and who you represent, how can you heal somebody? How can you help them? There's something occurred. We would have things at work sometimes where there would be hurt feelings. Like my supervisor would hurt somebody's feelings or something, okay? Or something was misrepresented or something happened. And I would be an envoy. You know, I would represent, you know, my department or that my supervisor. And I would go in and I'd try to fix the situation, all right?
You'd be the buffer.
Well, yeah, but you... And you try to heal the situation. Let's see what you say. And you know your boss so much because you represent them, messenger envoy. You know what was supposed to be transmitted and the details of it because you might have put it together yourself or whatever. But you know, that was a misunderstanding. You know, that wasn't quite what she said in a meeting. Or I'm not trying to rewrite history here, okay? Or this, see the idea, okay? Or whatever it is. So an envoy can bring that, but they're faithful. See, they know the situation. And they won't hurt it anymore. But a wicked one, you know, may be trying to bring down a boss or supervisor to elevate themselves, make them look bad. So you don't know. They don't know how to transmit it, or they lie about it. Who knows? Just get through the second. So you have to watch that, okay? Watch who represents you. Make sure they understand, you know, what you're thinking, all right? And the biggest thing is, if they don't understand, tell them to stop whatever they're doing with somebody and come back and get the right answer. Don't just make something up. All right. 18. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. Good general statement in this. Okay? It's poverty and shame and all this if you neglect wisdom. Who neglects discipline or correction? Sound like a fool to me, doesn't it? Okay? But he who regards or respects reproof or correction will be honored. Who honors him? We've seen already, haven't we? Sometimes if you have a leader who responds to correction, or a wise person responds to correction, who sees that? God sees it, right? Of course. Do others see it? Sure. Okay? And so that's a good general statement there. Don't neglect discipline and reproof and respect it. Okay? Now we're on 13:19. Desire realized is sweet to the soul, but is an abomination to fools who turn away from evil. Desire realized is sweet to the soul. A longing. Some longing you have, desire that's accomplished or realized, is sweet to the soul. What's sweet to the soul? It's good, right? It's fulfilling.
Just to satisfy all and anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And there's that feeling. If you, like a while ago here, we didn't fulfill it. We have fulfilled it here, and you realize it's sweet to the soul now. But it is. And it's an abomination to the fools who turn away from evil. Do fools who turn away from evil, what's the point there? Does a fool really like self-denial of things when they turn away from evil? Do they really want to turn away from evil? No, not really. And it's counter to that of being their whole nature, isn't it? So it really is. Fools don't like to turn away. It's abomination to fools. It's against their nature. See, it's an abomination to fools to turn away from evil. That's just not who they are. Interesting, isn't it? Okay? And that's pretty rough stuff. All right?
We know people, and we probably are guilty of that sometime, that we want it now, and I'll do anything, you know, to have it.
That's right.
And, I like it, and I really don't want to give it up. You know, I know what the Bible says.
And the way to get to that is an evil way, and I'll just do it.
Me, it's almost like the desire realized is sweet, so that's that instant gratification. And then with the... but it's an abomination to fools who turn away from evil. That's when someone's exercising self-control. And usually, fools don't exercise self-control. They are the ones that are doing the instant gratification and not thinking before they act. So it's almost a reverse thought process on this verse.
Could not the first part, if a fool, he's got a desire, it's an evil desire, is it sweet to him?
Yes.
Yes.
It is sweet to us.
Yes. Yes. See, that's that could buy you the way. That's right.
It's sweet.
Mm-hmm. When you accomplish at the end of it, that's right. But he's not going to turn away. Matter of fact, evil is maybe is sweet to him, but it's hard.
But he's using self-control, and yes, he is turning away from evil.
Yes. Well, but in his very nature, it's abomination to him to turn away from evil. That's just not who he is.
It looks like two different people to me.
Well, maybe. Okay.
It seems like one person in the first half.
It may be. Yeah, it is two probably. Okay, but you could apply the first to it. But beyond that, we're talking about the nature of a fool. All right? And abomination is really, you know, that's a strong word to use to a fool. All right. 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I guess we're talking about companions, aren't we? Good general statement, isn't it? It's who you walk with, who you associate with. Anything about character here? If you've got such a character that you're going to seek out wise people to be with, that shows one's character, doesn't it? And if you have such a character to be a companion with a fool, there's going to be harm and ruin associated with the end of that. So we've got to watch the rewards and results that come about from this. Okay? Choose who to be with. Walk with the wise, you'll be wise. Because it rubs off, doesn't it? Okay?
It also shows character in being able to choose the wise.
Now we're being told the result here, aren't we?
Yeah.
The result.
If you can pick out those wise people, then you are going to be wise.
Yes. Yes. And there's the harm, isn't it? The companion of fools harm. We've seen a lot of things of harm and wrath and all kinds of things associated with fools. 21. Adversity pursues sinners, but the righteous will be rewarded with prosperity. Adversity and trouble pursue sinners. Good general statement, isn't it? Okay? But the righteous will be rewarded with prosperity. Same idea again, that the reward at the end of it, what's prosperity? In this sense, we saw trouble pursue sinners. So this prosperity might be a lack of trouble, I guess, or lack of adversity. Good things coming to you. All right? Nice general statement. All right?
King James, it's not adversity, it's evil.
Okay. Evil pursues sinners?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
Good and evil.
Okay.
There is no problem.
Okay. And therefore the righteous be rewarded with good, I guess.
The righteous good shall be repaid.
Okay. All right. So the repaid means out of your reward. All right. And that's a good statement. So back up in 20, watch your companions you associate yourself with, right? Okay? The wise or the fool. 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. First part's pretty clean, isn't it? A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Inheritance, you know, you could say goods, but you can also say those things of wisdom, can't you? Those things of wisdom, those things of wise sayings, those things of good guidance. And it goes to multiple generations, doesn't it? So it just affects more than us. So, children, grandchildren, okay? There's a lasting influence in there that we can have on people. All right? But we've got the second part. And the wealth of the sinner, that's kind of like inheritance, of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. This I tend to think death, that inheritance there may be funds and wealth in this case. Okay, goods could be. It's stored up for the righteous. I'm thinking this is the idea that all these things that the sinner has accumulated, in the end, the righteous will get it. It's stored up for the righteous. If you have another thought, that's fine on that.
Ecclesiastes 2:26
okay,
says, "For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight, but to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God." I'm just wondering about this.
So what the sinner has gathered as well is really ends up in the hands of the righteous.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting, isn't it? Okay.
What verse was that again?
Ecclesiastes 2:26.
So we got the idea of inheritance goes to children's children. And that the sinner loses his to righteous eventually. All right?
This can't be talking just about dollars and cents because this statement is not a true statement on anybody's board in any nation at any time. The wealth of the sinners, the wealth of the ungodly out there is not given into the hands of the righteous.
Eventually.
Unless Robin Hood
eventually
takes it.
When? How?
If we look at past Proverbs, the idea that the good person in life, the one who lives by wisdom, is wealthier than the one who gains more wealth than the one who is foolish.
Not in money.
Well, in some cases it may be. But in a general statement. Because a fool would tend to squander their resources, wouldn't they? They wouldn't act wisely with it, whether it was investments or whatever it is. Generally. All right? Wouldn't be prudent in their actions. They'd research what they were doing, whatever they were doing. Okay? That's a good business plan, I guess you'd say. And so this is a difficult one in reading about it, that it's stored up for the righteous. Okay? What would be the wealth of the sinner, say? So that would be it. All right. That would tend to be the idea of inheritance. Or what he thinks is wealth. Say, but it doesn't fit either. It's stored up for righteousness. Let me look at that one more. Okay. 23. Abundant food is in the fallow ground of the poor, but is swept away by injustice. What's fallow ground? Anybody have anything else?
King James verse is totally different. I mean,
yeah, it is. There's some of these that's
totally different.
Sally and I were talking about this a little bit last time when we were in the auditorium. There's probably 2 to 3 verses in each chapter. I mean, that are just, it's all different. Okay, and it's a strange thing sometimes. All right?
As much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment.
Okay, I can see that. Abundant food is in the fallow ground of the poor. Fallow ground is the idea of plowed ground. If I'm doing a garden, it's more than that. I was reading about this. Fallow is the idea of I've got a garden, I've got flat ground out there, and I've plowed it. I've cut the troughs to put the seeds in. So it's ready for the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
It's ready to be planted.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that work. All right? So abundant food is in that ground. Well, the prospective mm-hmm. part of that is, isn't it? Okay? And the poor has worked hard, and the perspective out of this plowed ground, open, fallow ground, is going to yield abundant food. But it is swept away by injustice. Now, when I was looking on this is the idea that in a court case or something, or the unjust will take these people's land. This land is not used to its potential by the injustice of it somehow. Okay? And some of these may be court cases, maybe there, but somehow this ground is fertile. They fertilize it. They work it. They've cleared the stumps. They've leveled the land. They've done all this. And now they're getting ready to plant an abundant charge. Somebody comes in and takes it by injustice. See, all you just plant the seeds and harvest, and that's it. And you've seen some old shows. I mean, it's a lot of work clearing stones, leveling the ground, all that sort of thing. So maybe something like that. All right? Just a thought on 23.
I thought fallow ground was if it like you plant it for 7 years and then the eighth year or the seventh year, whatever, it lies fallow to be
dormant.
Well, I looked up fallow. I didn't see that. I just saw the idea that it's been prepared for the seed. It's that far along in the process. But I'll look at that, okay? And it would tend to fit. Alright, but there's injustice involved here. There's dishonesty involved by injustice. Alright. What's the point? If we're saying it's injustice by others, then we're saying that be aware, okay? Be aware of injustice. How would the poor react? How would you react if your land is taken that way? You've done all this work in it.
Life is not fair.
Life is not fair.
As we keep telling
over that very over. Thing happened over to again. Many, many people in the early days of this country.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking about. Okay, you know, there was a lot of people after the Civil War that had great areas that prepared and ready, and just taken away by carpetbaggers and things like that. All right. And by improper suits. Alright? Anyway, 24. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him or her diligently. Alright?
Consistently.
Promptly.
In a timely manner.
Early.
Okay? Early. Alright? So he withholds his rod hates his son. Who are we talking about there?
The
adult, I guess, would say there, aren't we? All right? So the direction of this statement is towards a parent's responsibility, isn't it? All right?
On this fallow.
Okay.
Run back. Just
sure, that's no problem. Quick.
Exodus 23:11 okay. Says, but on the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow so that the needy of your people may eat. Whatever they leave, the beasts of the field may eat. You are to do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. So that means unharvest it.
Right.
Leave it out there and don't harvest it. Just let them go get.
Okay. Let's say this then. Let's just say it is ground that has been left dormant because on the seventh year they wanted to, what can I say, replenish its minerals and nutrients, I guess, right?
So they're going to leave it just unproductive.
Yeah. So even at that point, if we say there's still ground and land involved, and abundant food is the result of that kind of ground that has been left alone, it still can be swept away by injustice, can't it? Okay? Take it. So we have to watch that. All right. Good point. All right. Parental responsibility. Withholds, hates his son, and he who loves him disciplines or teaches him diligently in a timely manner. Hates and loves. All right? Any thoughts? I think we've seen this one quite a bit. All right? What's rod indicate?
Discipline.
Okay. All right. Parallel discipline, doesn't it? All right? And diligently, you can say that's a key word there, can't you? All right. All right. Withhold and diligent. 25. The righteous has enough to satisfy his appetite, but the stomach of the wicked is in need. What's the second part? But the stomach of the wicked is in need. Is
it needs to be satisfied.
Is desires of the wicked ever met?
No.
In their mind?
No.
No. They're never filled up. They're never satisfied. So, in the first part, the righteous is enough to satisfy his appetite. is the idea that guided by wisdom, he knows his appetite, and he gets enough to satisfy it. And what does gets enough kind of mean? He's not gluttonous, maybe.
Right.
See the idea? All right. He's not, maybe I say the idea, not wasteful. I guess I could say that. Okay? But he's enough to satisfy his appetite, but the stomach of the wicked is the... And really, this whole thing talks about really who in the negative, who the wicked are in it. Okay? And they're never satisfied. Never satisfied. Okay?
This kind of goes back to that self-control. He knows when to stop.
Yeah. And to achieve, if he feels he's never been satisfied, he's never been filled, what does that do to his actions? What does that do to acquiring and keeping his food coming? So he'll do anything to keep it coming, won't he?
Pigeonhole.
Yeah, whatever it is. Okay.
In Ecclesiastes 5:10, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity. It talks about the love of, just like Paul does in Timothy. The righteous seeks to be right before God, and his wisdom is from God, and his life, he knows, you know, where what is right. Whereas the wicked is just fulfilling self, and he never has enough.
Yes.
It's the heart. It, you know, just like
It's interesting, too. The righteous here understands what satisfies them and their appetite.
It's because his heart in the right place.
Right.
And he doesn't serve it. It's not the love of. He loves something better than that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Good general statement. Any thoughts on that one? And we'll go on to chapter 14. Got a couple of minutes left. All right. Same idea. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. All right. A wise woman builds her house, strengthens it, does those things which are good for it. But a foolish one tears it down with her own hands. How can she tear it down?
Her actions.
Sure. Okay. We're not giving any indication here that it's words or anything, is it? But she does it with her own hands. You can destroy your own home, can't you? All right. Because of the choices she makes. It's a shame, but that's what happens.
The foolish woman does not listen to instruction.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore she is not wise.
Now here we're talking about women, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of changed from fathers and men a little bit, didn't we? Okay? So a woman has a great influence over her house. Alright? And how people act in it. What kind of characters are in the children, okay? How she treats a husband. There's a lot of things involved, okay? And you can tear it down with your own hands, all right? But a place in constant turmoil, that's not good for a house. Not good for a home, okay?
We will see Proverbs 31 at the end of the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
It says she feared the Lord, you know, and she was wise. And then it shows what kind of character she had, and then what she gave the wisdom and kindness to her children and everybody she met.
Yeah, that's right. And was a great asset to her husband, wasn't it? Honored him? That's right. Okay, that's it. We're here on Sunday with verse number 2. Thank you all very much. 14:2%.